From the land of Grand Theft University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of May, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. A bit later in the program, Matt Bennett will be here too. He'll help us look at the cash grain market from the view from Windsor, Illinois, and TGM. Along the way, we'll get an update of the weather forecast from T-Storm Weather's Mike Tenor. Dave Dickey will have the news, and we'll hear a bit of the conversation I had with Joe Glauber, along with many other NAFB, or National Association of Farm Broadcasting members, this week in Washington, D.C., right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check on this Thursday afternoon the numbers as they finished up at the CME Group in Chicago, where the soft red winter wheat for the afternoon was down 3 cents in the nearby May contract at $7.26¾ cents. July at $7.35¼, the harvest month, 2½ cents lower for the day. July wheat up a penny at $8.42½. May corn 3 cents higher, $5.13¼. The settlement price July at $5.16½, up 2½, and September at $5.13¼, up 2¼. December corn $5.11½, two higher for the day. March contract at $5.19, up a penny and three quarters. July of next year at $5.29½, up 1½ cents. May soybeans 23¼ higher, $14.74¼. The settlement price July at $14.69½, up 23¼. And August at $14.07¼, up 13½. September $12.81, up 8¼. November beans at $12.24, up 6¾. January $12.30½, up 6¾. Bean meal $490.60, that is, up $9.30. And the bean oil at $40.94, 27 cents higher. Live cattle futures from the CME Group in the June at $137.92½, 35 cents higher. August up 20 cents at $137.60. May feeders at $183.50, 47½ cents higher, but the August there at $190.27½, down 40 cents, although it's at $109.27½, down 40 just doesn't seem like too much, does it? Lean hogs, May contract $114.90, up 30, or rather down 32½ in June at $120.15. $1.25 lower in July. Lean hogs today at $123.42½, or 40 cents higher. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Join us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you will find all of our agricultural programming. Let's take a look at the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures are trading the nearby contract. That would be the June issue. Well, it's not coming up for the day, so we'll wait just a bit on that. Let's look at the weather forecast instead for the afternoon. As we look forward to that one, we should see, well, the weather forecast isn't available either. What do you know? There's our crude oil. June contract, $100.24, down 53 cents for the day. As the computer manages to catch up for me, our Bob gasoline or June contract at $2.90½. That's a penny and 2 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $2.16, up a dime for the day. And natural gas at $4.57⅞. That's 16 and 2 cents lower. The diesel fuel trading $2.92¼, 0.6 cents lower, and gold futures at $1,287.70, down $1.20 for the afternoon. The weather forecast shows us mostly sunny skies for the afternoon today, with a high near 90 degrees on this Thursday afternoon. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms will come after 1 a.m. Increasing clouds, a low of 65 degrees, a south-southwest wind at 14 to 17 miles an hour, gusting to 26 this evening. Rainfall in the area is expected at the 70% level. Friday, showers and thunderstorms are likely. It'll be cloudy with a high of just 77 degrees. Again, a 70% chance of rainfall in the area. And then Friday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those will come before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy and a low of 55 degrees. Saturday, sunny and 78. Saturday evening, a 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms still, low of 60 degrees. And Sunday, that 40% chance of rainfall continues, mostly cloudy and a high of 78 degrees. Sunday evening, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy and 62 degrees. Rainfall continues into Monday, or at least the chance of, mostly cloudy and 75. And Monday night, rainfall mostly cloudy and 57. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour. You are, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is willag.org on a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line this 8th day of May 2014 is Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan. How are you today?
Hi, Todd. I'm doing fine.
Me too. So let's go through some of the things that have happened over the last week. I spent most of it in Washington, D.C. Didn't bother to pay a lot of attention to the markets, but well, it looks kind of like things are on an upturn again. What do you see?
Well, earlier in the week, of course, we had a lot of long liquidation in the July soybean futures, a lot of spread unwinding. That bull spread was hammered pretty good. Basically, it was talk of and reality of some of these China beans that were the beans that China washed out of that were purchased in South America making their way into U.S. ports. That kind of pressured the soybean complex down to the point where I think old crop soybeans were right on their knees or down for the count. And now today's big surge to the upside, it was kind of thrown a life vest. I think the market bull got a life vest here this morning on weekly export sales that basically came out a little positive. It wasn't much, but the trade was looking for some pretty sizable cancellations. And when that showed up, beans basically regrouped and surged to the upside. Have basically come within striking distance now of closing higher for the week. If we could get some follow through from today's strong advance in soybeans, we could finish out the week with a weekly reversal to the upside, that would put soybeans back on track anyway to claw their way back into the uptrending channel, especially the old crop months, put them on track to maybe take out those April high points.
Well, to stay with the picture you have painted, a life vest for soybeans tomorrow, I suppose when the USDA releases the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates at 11 a.m., that will be the shark circling in the water, and it may or may not bite, one of the two. What do you think will happen?
Well, it's going to be interesting what USDA does with old crop balance sheet, because export sales are 60 million above what USDA has recognized on the May balance sheet. So they're going to have to figure out a way to recognize that 60 million bushel plus to kind of bring the supply demand into balance. Now, the USDA did bump up imports to 65 million last month. You know, some are thinking that they'll go up to 80, which I think is a real stretch. It's one thing buying soybeans for a bargain after, China canceled a bunch of sales that were already floating around out in the sea to bring them in, but then to purchase them directly out of South America and bring them up here is another story. But that still leaves 40 million that they got to account for. I think that signals to the marketplace that the market needs to go higher to encourage cancellations or those sales to be rolled into the next year. So it'll be interesting what they do with the balance sheet on the old crop. That's going to be the thing I think everybody's going to look at, which I think is kind of good in a sense because it may take attention away from the new crop balance sheet, which will probably be a disaster. I expect USDA to stick with the March intentions numbers. I don't think they'll alter acreage. However, they do have that flexibility to do that. I think it's just, too early to I don't think corn planting is late enough to for them to really alter that, but they could. But they're going to probably stick with a 44.5 bushel national average yield. I think we're going to be probably – USDA is going to be showing us a 300 million bushel plus ending stocks level, which by no imagination is definitely bearish if that's realized. But over the years, I've seen USDA pump out those big ending stocks numbers for soybeans. in the past, and for some time, for one reason or the other, they never really materialized. But that's going to be a negative swing. But like I said, the bullishness in the old crop balance sheet may offset that tomorrow.
Yeah, to be clear, it's different to see it in print and black and white than it is to think about it. And this will be the first time USDA has given us a number for ending stocks for next year.
Well, they did they did trace one out for us on the Ag Forum, but this will be the first official WASD number for the crop year.
So now we'll have a set of balance sheets for the 2014-15 crop, and we'll have to move that through forward. What do you see from tomorrow for the corn?
Well, I think they got corn demand still too low. I think there's room to, even though we had a poor weekly export sales number here today, I think export demand is in well in excess of 1.8 billion bushels. USDA did bump it up to 17.5 last month. So I think there's anywhere between 50 to 75 million bushel bump up in demand if they want to choose that. I think the way the ethanol grind is going, there would be room for maybe a 25 million bushel jump up in ethanol grind. So there is room to increase demand 100 million or so, subtract that from ending stocks, and that keeps, you know, bringing that down. I don't think they'll get down underneath 112 probably for another month or two. We'll have to see if I'm right that we've got that strong of export demand coming at us over the next 17 weeks or before the year's out. But any stocks are going to come down. Anytime you bring any stocks down, that is supposed to be generally supportive. The key will be what they do with next year. There is no doubt, I think, the demand outlook has changed significantly since USDA traced out those numbers in February Ag Forum. I think export demand is going to be stronger next year. So the key will be, will they stick with their 165-plus trend line yield? Some kind of feel that maybe they might shave it a little bit due to the slowness in planting that we've seen a little bit, but that's just, I think, a wild guess. I know when you start with a balance sheet, you have to start with something, but when you go back and look at the last 10 to 15 years, the 09 crop year where we had our 164 or almost 165, actually that was an outlier. We haven't gotten close to that since. So I think, you know, anything in that 164, 65 is probably fluffy unless we have an ideal growing season. And realistically, I think, you know, it's going to be more like 160 or 161. And that's provided we have some pretty good weather.
Hey, thanks so much. Enjoy the weather where you are.
I will. It's a little humid. It's starting to crank up down here.
That's why I said it. Thanks much, Dan. Talk to you
later. Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us on this Thursday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, entomologists in Indiana, Missouri, and Ohio are urging growers to be on alert for high black cutworm populations this spring. Black cutworm trap catches increased dramatically in several areas of Indiana over the past week. Fields at the most risk of damage are low-lying, wet, located near vegetation, such as woods or a weedy meadow, have heavy residue or winter annual weeds, were planted late to corn, or have a history of black cutworm problems. China's trade rebounded in April from the previous month's contraction, but imports were subdued in another sign of the country's economic slowdown. Customs data released today showed exports rose 0.9% recovering from March's unexpected 6.6% decline. Imports in China rose 0.8%, up from the previous month's 11.3% decline. Wendy's company today says that its first quarter earnings surged as the fast food chain posted gains from the sale of company-owned locations. Wendy's reported earnings were $46.3 million, or 12 cents a share, up from $2.1 million, or a penny a share, a year earlier. The latest period included a gain of $44 million related to sales of restaurants. Meanwhile, McDonald's Corporation said same-store sales rose 1.2% in April, with stronger results in China offsetting flat sales in the U.S. McDonald's says that Asia-Pacific, Middle East, and Africa regions posted 2.9% higher same-store sales, with strong results in China helped by favorable comparisons against last year's negative impact from avian influenza. CONAB today says that Brazilian farmers will produce a record 86.6 million tons of soybeans in the 2013-14 growing season. That is a slight increase from the 86.1 million tons forecast last month and a jump of 5.1 million tons from the 81.5 million produced in the previous season. CONAB's estimate for total corn harvest in 2013-14 was cut to 75.2 million tons in its report for May from the 75.5 million tons estimated in April. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, freshly back from a trip to Washington, D.C. with the National Association of Farm Broadcasting for its Washington Watch event. More on that as the next few days pass. But as we get ready for tomorrow's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, I thought it might be important to give you a perspective from the chief economist at USDA. Joseph Glauber talked to the group just a bit about the world supply of grains and oilseeds, in particular the 2012 drought, and how that crop has not rebuilt as quickly as it might have in previous decades.
We did have some rebuilding last year, but we had very strong use. We've seen wheat consumption, corn consumption, soybean consumption, certainly all, increase to record levels. And so that has meant that stocks haven't rebounded quite like they might have, say, in the 80s or something, where we used to see these years where we'd have a significant drought, then all of a sudden next year flush and back to lower prices. And prices are lower, but as you've seen over the last 3 or 4 months, the markets have certainly been, there's a lot of volatility there and a lot of interest with weather and other sorts of things.
That, of course, is USDA Chief Ag Economist Joseph Glauber. By the way, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in the WASDE or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, USDA and the World Agricultural Outlook Board will take its first stab at next year's carryout, or the ending stocks for the 2014-15 marketing year, or the fall of 2015. Glauber talked a little bit about how that process works in lockup.
But I think the lockup is still very significant. The challenge is the fact that we're in a world that trades 24/7, the fact that you have high-speed trading, all those things make this. I mean, I have talked about this given a number of speeches on this, or papers on this topic, and it's a fascinating one, as you know. I mean, you probably have pictures of these, but these pictures with the guard there outside the lockup, and there's still a scowling guard outside the lockup, but now he has a metal detector, and taking all cell phones at the door. And of course, NASA's put in a lot more security, particularly following the IG's report.
On the subject of security, have you ever wondered how the state information arrives at USDA? It arrives, that day.
That is still comes in encrypted, you know, individually comes in heavily encrypted and then is put together in there in lockup. So that all still goes on. I mean, our guy, my guys, the World Board guys, you know, they're obviously, they have a lot of their pre-meetings. And, you know, oftentimes in a quiet lockup month, say February, or what should be quiet, you know, where you think, well, there's not much in terms of NASC production numbers. It still is busy just because of all the foreign stuff that goes on. And that's the other side of it, I think, you know, particularly Southern Hemisphere and all the, you know, stuff going on in the winter. We spend a lot more time with that. And there, you know, again, we're picking up, I mean, obviously the media and everyone else has access to Brazilian cannabis reports and other things, so they're looking at those. But we do that. We do a lot of back and forth with the attachés there.
USDA Chief Ag Economist Joseph Glauber. Tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., the United States Department of Agriculture will release its World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, updating not only this year's supply and demand figures, but for the first time for the growing season, predicting the 2014-15 marketing year supply and demand estimates. Those will be out at 11 a.m. Watch our website at willag.org for all the details. Come back for the closing market report tomorrow and for Commodity Week, which follows this program on our home radio station and up on the website at willag.org by about 4 o'clock tomorrow. Our guest will be Lance Honig. He is with USDA NASS.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Matt Bennett now on the phone line to take a look at the cash grain market. He's in Windsor, Illinois, at the TGM, or Total Grain Marketing Elevator. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Producer is pretty much done with corn in your area?
Pretty much. There might be a couple guys here and there, and then actually I think there's a few hoping for a rain here. Some of the corn struggling to come up a little bit, but I think see a little bit more of it every day, so I think replanting hopefully will be limited to not very much.
I know you've seen corn. It's up. Anybody got beans in? Long enough that they pop, with this kind of heat, those things sometimes pop out of the ground.
Yeah, there's a few beans that are starting to show up that were actually planted before the rain. And, you know, some of the beans that were planted this week are next to being up. I mean, we went and looked at a couple of them this afternoon that are really close to being up. So there's a lot of beans that went in the ground in our neck of the woods. You know, a couple guys are talking about being done. So, you know, there's a lot of beans in this area. I'd say we're well over half in our area.
A quick preview from you of tomorrow's USDA WASDE figures.
Well, I think definitely on the cash side, both of the can be adjusted lower, whether it will on the beans or not, I don't know. I would think they would on the corn. And then, of course, for next year's carry out, I would think that we'll probably be in a little bit better shape for both. So I would look to have a little bit bullish on the old crop and maybe a little bearish on the new.
And what are your bids for the day?
Oh, $4.99 on cash corn, $4.83 for fall, $14.81 on cash beans, $11.95 for fall.
Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Don.
Matt Bennett with TGM, back in 2 minutes.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Empanada Day. Empanadas are made by folding a thick, circular-shaped dough patty over a stuffing, creating its typical semicircular shape. Pastry is the traditional Latin version of the U.S. Hot Pocket. On this day in agricultural history in 1862, John D. Lindy of Philadelphia patented the first aerosol dispenser. In 1873, Alfred Paruff received a patent for the first commercially viable margarine manufacturing process, but he was a little too successful. When margarine sales threatened butter sales, state and federal officials levied taxes on margarine. In 1879, the Echo Farms Dairy of New York began selling milk in glass bottles, the first time that ever happened in the U.S. In 1898, the first U.S. College of Forestry was created at Cornell University. In 1911, Melvin Calvin was born. Calvin was an American biochemist who discovered how carbon dioxide is absorbed into green plants and its conversion into carbohydrates and other organic compounds. And in 1992, Benjamin Eisenstadt died. He invented the artificial sweetener Sweet'n'Low. When saccharin became popular in the 1950s, it was originally only available as a liquid or as tiny pills. Eisenstadt mixed saccharin with dextrose to create saccharin in a packet form. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon, and we're joined by T-Storm Weather's Mike Tenora from Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at the forecast. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing, Todd?
Well, it's pretty warm here. It's been really warm out in the west, where I guess the high plains have been suffering with dust storms, and the hard red winter wheat looks in not great shape, and I don't know, what do you see in the weather across the United States?
Well, we are in a transitional phase right now between a warm pattern that we are experiencing at the moment and, unfortunately, a cool pattern that's coming up for next week. The way it looks at the moment, we're going to see areas of rain and thunderstorms sweep across the central U.S. in two or three different waves. The first wave is developing right now, and that will continue to affect a large portion of the Northern Plains and Corn Belt all the way through tomorrow. We have a short break on Saturday, though we caution that there will be a few showers around much of the same areas that receive rain over the next 1 to 2 days. And then the real concern as far as planting goes is what happens on Sunday and Monday, because we have yet another system, this one fairly large, that is expected to move on through pretty much the same areas once again. So by the time you add up all of the rain that's coming, we're not looking for a monstrous rain event by any stretch of the imagination, but we feel fairly comfortable with widespread 1 to 2 inch amounts from today all the way through Monday. So that will tend to slow corn planting across a large portion of the Corn Belt. Now, interestingly, although there could be a few thunderstorms in the plains where rain is really needed, it looks like chances there are fairly low. We calculated with our proprietary application that 50% of U.S. hard red winter wheat production received less than half of its average rainfall over the last 90 days. That is very dry, and that's why we're seeing this dust issue develop across Texas and Oklahoma and into parts of Kansas and Colorado, the same area that was experiencing huge dust storms back in the 1930s in the Dust Bowl era. This is a little reminiscent of that, but not nearly as severe. But that will be something to monitor, not only for the rest of this growing season, but next growing season. We'll need to see some big rains to help and improve soil moisture in that region. Back to next week, though, in the Corn Belt, it does turn sharply cooler and a little bit drier. But all in all, it just doesn't look all that great for the next 7 days or so.
How much cooler is sharply cooler?
Well, we think temperatures will be around 10 to maybe even 15 degrees below average on 1 or 2 days. That will put high temperatures in the 50s and 60s for a couple of days next week, with lows in the 40s. We start to warm up, though, by next weekend. But with that warm-up comes a chance for rain as we set up a sharp north-south temperature contrast through the Corn Belt.
So we're in the midst of the transitional time. It's coming a bit late for the spring. Does that give you any indication of how quickly we will simply move into the summer time frame?
Well, that's a great question. One thing that we do know is that we have an El Nino event that is becoming increasingly probable as we go through the next few months and really through the end of the year. That generally leads to cool and wet conditions in the Corn Belt in the summer, which is great news if you're a corn and soybean farmer once you have your crop in the ground. So at this point, there are some clues out there that we do have a fairly favorable growing season coming up, but weather is never as simple as just looking at El Nino and then knowing what will happen. But we just think there is a hint that we might be seeing more of this type of weather that's coming up next week in our future.
Our thanks to Mike Tenor of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. That wraps up the closing market report. I'm Todd Gleason.